right, two of us are doing good. It's going to be a great day. Beautiful day in the neighborhood. We're going to go to Acts chapter 2. Today is Pentecost Sunday. How many of you know what Pentecost Sunday is? Just raise your hand. All right, about two of us there. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about Pentecost Sunday, what that is, what that means, and what that can look like for your family, because we are still in our Family Circus series. And can we start off with a little bit of fun this morning? Can we have a little fun this morning, right? Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, good, because I was going to do it anyways. So this morning, I've got Chandler and Charlie. They're going to help me out. So can you guys get me some contestants? Because today, we're going to play a game called Generational Divide. And the next contestants up on Generational Divide are whoever they pick. Okay? So we're picking people from different generations. We're going to pick some between the ages of 18 and under and 55 and older, right? And so these guys are coming, and they're going to be our contestants this morning. Now, I'm going to pull this back so they cannot see my answers, right? And so, guys, today, this is what this is going to do. You are going to answer questions based on the language of the corresponding generation, okay? And I'm going to give you a word, and you're going to tell me what you think that word means. And so it'll be a word from his generation, and it'll be a word from her generation, okay? And you'll have to tell me, we're trying to figure out, do we know how to speak each other's language, okay? And maybe we don't even know our own language, right? Because sometimes people just talk in emojis. And so, this morning, welcome to Generational Divide, all right? We're going to see what happens when TikTok meets record players, when floppy disk meets AirPods. Are you ready to find out if the next generation and the last generation can actually understand each other? Let's go. All right, here we go. First question, we are going to ask Gen Z over here. Gen Z, if he knows what does copacetic mean?
No clue.
Is that your answer? Yeah. That is your answer. Do you know what copacetic means?
It's all cool.
It's all cool. And it means fine. It's all right. Everything's copacetic. How many of you guys knew what copacetic was? Okay? Yeah. People of a certain generation, okay? All right? So copacetic. It's all copacetic. It's all good. All right. Next up, here we go. What does no cap mean? What does no cap mean?
Yeah.
That's your final answer?
Yeah.
Okay. No cap. What does no cap mean?
It's like when you're telling the truth. Like you're not lying.
I'm not, no lie, yeah. Right? No lie. It's truthful, right? That's what no cap means, right? And I guess I should be giving you no cap. I finished my homework in 30 minutes, right? That's the truth, okay? So I should give you that. I should give you this sentence, okay? So, you guys are both at zero, okay? Nobody's winning right now. We're all a bunch of losers so far. So here we go. All right, next up, Gen Z, what does bread mean? And I'll give you, what does bread mean? And I'll give you a sentence and maybe to help you out. I'm a little short, can I borrow some bread?
Money. Money is bread.
Money. Yeah. Is it money? It is money! Woo! 1 point for Gen Z over here. All right. All right, Susan, here we go. This is your chance. Here we go. All right, so next up. What does drip mean? And this is the sentence to help you out. Check out his drip.
His what? Like social media posts? I don't know.
Not quite. What does drip mean?
Drip is like fashionable, or like you're wearing something cool.
Your clothing, right? Your accessories, right? You know, check out his drip, right? Okay, all right. So 1 point here, zero here, all right? All right, so this might be a chance for you to catch up, okay? This is a chance, all right? Gen Z over here. What does fuzz mean? What does fuzz mean? And you better watch it or the fuzz will get you.
Oh, the cops?
Is it the cops? This is the police. It is the police. All right. All right. Man, good job. You're doing great over here. You're older than what you look, right? And, how old are you, by the way?
16.
I thought you said 60 for a second. Okay, I just want to make sure. I'm like, yeah, I know. He looks pretty good for 60. Okay, here we go. All right, Susan, here we go. Think about this one, all right? What does sus mean? That chicken salad is sus.
It's excellent. it's great.
It is not excellent. And we need to make sure that you find out what this means. What does sus mean?
So, like, sus is, it's like suspicious, like suspect. Like,
so if that chicken salad is suspect, do not eat it. Okay, don't eat it, all right? All right, there you go. Yeah, that's it, that's it. All right, last one. This was going to be the tiebreaker, but this is from neither generation. This is actually from my generation, and so I want to see if you guys know. What does, and you guys can just kind of jump in here. What does home skillet mean?
Home cooking.
Home cooking.
Yeah, home cooking, like a skillet at home.
No. Home skillet is like, what's up, home skillet? You're my buddy. You're my friend.
Okay.
Yeah. How many of you know home skillet? Home skillet, yes. Yes. Can we give these guys a hand? We have nothing but pride for them. But congratulations, guys. Thank you so much for playing Generational Divide. All right. So how many of you guys kind of knew some of those words? You know? I'm not going to ask you which one you knew. Listen, Grayson, I'm impressed. You did a great job, buddy. That's good. Maybe that was too easy. Maybe that was they've been around a long time, those words. So you just have to pay attention. So often, you know, we're often speaking different languages, even in the same house, right? How many of you, your kids speak a different language than you, it seems like, sometimes? And, yeah, and so sometimes we're speaking a different language, and no wonder it can feel like a chaotic mess, right? Sometimes it feels like a circus. It feels like there's just this cacophony of noise, and we're trying to sort through it and trying to figure out how do we talk to each other. And so that's kind of what today is a little bit about, is about communication. But today is also Pentecost Sunday, and I think this matches up really, really well today. And so I want us to talk about this idea of communication, because just because we speak a different language from generation to generation, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It means that there's more to understand, it means there's more to love, and it means there's more to celebrate. All right? I want you to get that. Just because we speak a different language, and just because it's different, it doesn't mean that it's bad or wrong. It means that there's just more for us to understand. It means there's more for us to love, and there's more for us to celebrate. So what does that look like? Today we're going to see how the Holy Spirit bridges those gaps, just like he did on the day of Pentecost. And so I want us to go to Acts chapter 2 this morning. Acts chapter 2 is where we're headed, Acts chapter 2. We're going to read through this for a portion of this, and then we're going to read a portion out of Deuteronomy. And so Acts chapter 2, we're starting in verse 1. Acts chapter 2 beginning in verse 1. And it says, "And when the day of Pentecost arrived," and so what is Pentecost? Pentecost was actually a festival that happens 50 days after Passover. Now, the cool thing about what we're reading here in the book of Acts is because what happened around Passover that we celebrate every spring? Easter, right? And what is that? We celebrate resurrection, right? Jesus was resurrected, and so we are 50 days now removed from the resurrection. We are 50 days from this, and this feast of Pentecost is here, and or it's called Shavuot. Maybe I probably butchered that, but you know I'm not Jewish, so give me a break, okay? And so when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Where were they? They're all together in one place. Sounds like a family, doesn't it? Where's your family? Sometimes they're all together in one place. All right. "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance." Now, You know what? You say, this is a crazy part of the Bible. This sounds wild. It does sound wild, right? There's a lot of wild stuff in the Bible, but there's a lot of great and wild stuff in the Bible. It's all good, right? And so this morning when we're looking at this passage, how does this speak to our families? And sometimes maybe you've come across this passage and said, I don't really know what this means. And, you know, maybe you've been to churches and they talk about speaking in tongues. It's like, I don't know about that. That's kind of crazy. It's kind of wild. But really what was happening here was that there is in Genesis, go all the way back to Genesis. And anybody remember the story of the Tower of Babel? Anybody remember the story of the Tower of Babel? And if you look at the story of the Tower of Babel, they were building this tower to heaven so they could make a name for themselves. And God looks at it and says, man, this isn't good. It's like they're really prideful people. This is a people that they're trying to do things on their own, and they're trying to live life in such a way where it just cuts me out, right? And so this is not good, and he did not want that for people. And so what he did was God came down, and you can go read this. I think this is Genesis chapter 11. You go read this, and God confuses their languages, right? And they all spoke one language up until this point. And at this point in time, God confused their languages, and they could not understand each other, and so they began to spread out, right? And that was what they were supposed to be doing in the first place, because God told them, go increase and multiply, you know, go rule over the earth, spread out, right? And they wouldn't. They would stay together, and they got prideful, and so God split them up. He spread them out and divided their languages. And so we see this happening in Genesis, and then we come all the way through to Acts, and you see that God is now doing something new, because he's taking all these people who have divided languages, and he's doing something with them. He's bringing them together. See, on Pentecost, the disciples were all together, and they were probably anxious, right? They were probably a little unsure, sometimes like our family gatherings. Are you ever unsure at a family gathering what's going to happen? Yeah, sometimes it's like Uncle Jimmy's the wild card. You don't know what's going to happen with Uncle Jimmy. You know, Aunt Susie, she's just like, she could just say off-the-wall stuff, right? And so we've all got our Uncle Jimmy's and Aunt Susie's, and we don't know sometimes what's going to happen in the family. There's probably a little bit of anxiety here with the disciples as they were meeting together in this upper room, and they were unsure about what was going to happen in this family gathering that they were in. And so everyone's talking, but maybe not everyone's connecting. How many of you have that happen sometimes at your family gatherings? Everybody's just talking, and they're talking about their own stuff, and it's just like everybody's talking over each other, right? Our family's like that in a lot of ways, because we're kind of loud when we get together at a family. Both my family on my side and on Raina's side of the family, we're just loud, and we talk and we shout and we're very verbose. I'll just say it that way. And sometimes we're not always hearing each other, and we don't always connect in those conversations, and maybe you get that. See, the Holy Spirit entered this chaotic moment. The Holy Spirit entered this moment of just where there was anxiety, and he turned it into a moment of shared purpose and love. The Holy Spirit moved into this moment where they were wondering, what happens now? What happens now that Jesus has ascended into heaven, right? We've seen this resurrection, and he told us, he said, stay here in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit is poured out on you. What does that mean? I don't even know what that means. And so there's probably a little bit of trepidation about what is going to happen from here on. But the Holy Spirit enters this moment, and he turns this moment into shared purpose and shared love. And so families, you know, we can feel that mess, and we can feel that chaos, and we can feel that loudness, and we can feel those disconnected moments where it just seems like everybody's talking, but nobody's listening. Or everybody's talking and not, you know, you're not being heard. Anybody ever felt like you weren't heard in your family? Right? You know? You felt like I'm saying words, but you're not hearing what I'm saying. And this can be difficult, so families can be messy. See, but the Spirit of God specializes in bringing peace to our confusion. And that's what we need. How do you need peace in the family? You want peace in your family. You want peace in the confusion, right? And so the Spirit, what he does is he specializes in bringing peace to our confusion. And he doesn't remove our differences. You need to understand that we have differences for a reason. Our differences are not a bad thing. And the Holy Spirit doesn't remove our differences, but by giving us hearts that understand our differences. And he gives us a heart that honors our differences. That's what we see happening here, is that the Holy Spirit moves into the confusion. The Holy Spirit moves into the chaos and begins to bring order, because that's what God does. He's done that from the very beginning. He's done that from the beginning of creation, where God's Spirit is hovering over the waters. And what does he do? He begins to speak. God begins to speak. And what does he begin to speak? He begins to speak order. And so what we see now is the Spirit of God is moving again. And he's moving in a way where there's not this first of creation, but it's this recreation. He's recreating something in us. He's recreating our hearts. And so as we see this, he takes our differences, and it doesn't make us bad, but he brings that together. When God's Spirit fills the room, confusion can become community. When God's Spirit fills the room, confusion can become community. You need to know that. You need to understand this and say, all right, this Holy Spirit thing, I don't know what this is all about, but you need to understand that the Holy Spirit wants to come in, and he wants to bring community out of the confusion. Let's go ahead. Let's continue to read. Let's pick it up in Acts chapter 2, verse 5. It says, and now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men of every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Right? So there was this gift of tongues that was being poured out, and people were speaking in a miraculous tongue. But there's this other side, that these people are hearing them in a miraculous way, right? Do you see that? And they were bewildered, because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language, Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians? We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Right? If I'd have been there, I'd have been saying the same thing. What does this mean? How is it that, you know, we can hear them speaking our own language? I had a professor at seminary. He asked us that question, and we were talking about this passage, and he asked us the question. He says, was this a miracle of speaking, or was it a miracle of hearing? And we just all sat there just looking. He said, we're waiting for him to tell us what the answer was, right? And he said, yes, it's a miracle of both. It's a miracle of speaking, and it's a miracle of hearing. Because at Pentecost, the Spirit just didn't give the disciples new words. He gave the listeners ears to hear, right? And so that's part of the problem sometimes in our families, is sometimes we're speaking past each other, and we're not always hearing each other. We're not always hearing what everybody's saying. And see, this wasn't just about foreign languages. It was about hearts being open to each other. See, in families, we speak different languages, right? Just like what we saw here. The generations speak different languages. And sometimes we pick up on things. Sometimes they cross, but it's not always the same. Sometimes you have teen slang. Sometimes you have what we have as parent lectures, right? Anybody, any parents, you give a lecture before, right? You're the professor of lectures in your home, right? We have stories from the good old days versus the struggles of today, right? We have those. We tell these stories of what this looks like, and we have the struggles of today. We have the ones who are quiet in our home. How many of you have those who are just kind of quiet, little quiet mouse in your home? They hardly ever say anything. Anybody got any of those, right? You got a few of those, right? And then you have those who are just, they make up for that one sibling. Two or three times over, because they're just loud and boisterous, and they're just all over the place, and maybe they're messy, right? And so you have the quiet ones with few words, and then you have the talkative ones with the many words. And it's okay. These differences are all right, because what we want to be praying is this. We want to pray that the Holy Spirit would come in and help us to hear. If we go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, and you've heard me talk about this before. I've taught this to my boys since they were little kids about the Shema. What is this? And I just want to read this to you. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And that first word is where we get the word Shema. It means to hear. And what you have to understand about this word, this Hebrew word Shema, is it just doesn't mean to listen, right? It means to listen and obey. It means to listen to what's being said, take it in, process it, and then act on it. There's a response that is required when you Shema. When you listen and obey, there's something that you have to do. It's not just hearing the words and then ignoring those words. How many of you get frustrated with people that you say, are you hearing what I'm saying? Because they're not doing what you want them to do, right? Right? I've had to sit my boys down. I say, are you listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth? And I have to make sure. I used to sit them down on the floor and like, do you hear what I'm saying? Right? I say, I want you to look at me in my eyeballs. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you understand what I want you to do? Because I wanted them to Shema. I wanted them to hear, and I wanted them to obey. And God wants us to hear, and God wants us to obey. And so the Shema prayer teaches that hearing is more than listening. It's hearing and it's obeying. It's responding with action. And the Spirit helps us to hear the heart behind the words, even if they sound foreign to us, right? That's what the Holy Spirit does. It helps us to hear the heart that is behind the words. And sometimes that's what we've got to do. We've got to hear the heart that is behind what is being said. Because sometimes we're not always articulate people, right? How many have you've tried to say things and it just didn't come out like you wanted it to? It's like, man, that's not how I wanted that to sound, right? I wanted to say this and this, and just like you have so much here in your emotions that you want to communicate, and sometimes it's like your words fail you. And it's sometimes like your words are not enough to communicate what your heart is trying to say. And we can respond in a lot of different ways where we just get frustrated and maybe our conversations get elevated. How many of you do you match the conversation of the person that you're talking to? Right? If they raise their voice, you go, well, I'm going to raise my little. Yeah, raise your. Woo! And then it's just escalation. Some of us, we don't do it that way. Some of us, we shut down and we stop talking and we pull back, right? And so this is what it looks like in our family. Sometimes we're trying to communicate. Me and Raina, this past week, we were over in Tifton at our Church of God camp meeting conference that we have every year. And yesterday when we were leaving to come home, there was a Starbucks that was right outside of our hotel. And so I just knew she wanted, she didn't even have to tell me, hey, I want a coffee, I'd like a Starbucks. I just took the car and I pulled around and I pulled right up to that that little speaker box, and I said, hey, what do you want? You know, she's like, oh, okay, this is great. You know, she's all happy right then, right? And so, you know, she tells me what her order is, and I tell them the order, and, you know, she orders, you know, something to eat, and then she orders a coffee, and then I say, thank you, and then I start pulling around. She looks at me, she's like, you don't want anything? I'm like, oh, yeah, I do, but I'm not getting anything here. I'm going across the street to Chick-fil-A, okay? and she's like, well, why didn't you tell me that? I wouldn't have gotten anything to eat here, right? And it was in that moment, it was just like, you know, I got a coffee at Starbucks because Chick-fil-A's coffee is horrible, okay? Right? But I'm not going to get anything to eat there because I love Chick-fil-A's chicken biscuits, you know, because that's God's chicken. And it was in that moment. I was telling her later what I was going to be preaching about. She says, well, that's just fine, isn't it? Because look at the communication we have this morning, right? But this is exactly why we're talking about this. Because this is a lived experience. You know, sometimes we have to see the heart behind it. Sometimes we have to see the heart that is of the things that are not being said sometimes. And what is that? And that's difficult. And that's difficult. But I think that's what this Holy Spirit wants to do in our homes. Not just in our lives individually, but what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our homes is to help us to come in and hear sometimes maybe what's not being said or what's being said and maybe what's not being articulated enough, right? Where we begin to see, and there's something more here, you know. That's where we need the Holy Spirit. Real understanding goes beyond words. It hears the heart. Are you hearing the heart of the people in your home? Do you hear the heart or do you just hear the hate? Right? There have been times where my children, I have made them angry. Come on, anybody just made your kids mad?
My kids have made me mad. It goes both ways, okay? So where they've been angry, and I just hear, you know, Kobe, just stomping around, Cannon. But I understand, there's something else behind that. And in this moment, there's this frustration. But I understand there's a heart, there's love between us, okay? And sometimes you have to hear past that. And so that's where I need the Holy Spirit to help me. I need the Holy Spirit to help me to hear the things sometimes I don't always hear. I need the Holy Spirit to help me say the things sometimes I'm not always saying in the right way. And so is it a miracle of speaking and a miracle of hearing? Yes. I need both. I need the miracle to say what I need to say, and I need the miracle to hear what I need to hear. And so do you need the Holy Spirit at work in your home and at work in your life? Absolutely. At work in your relationships? Absolutely. This is how we need the Holy Spirit to work. And if we go down to verse 42 through 47, this is what it says. And this is after this outpouring. This is their response. This is their Shema, how they heard and they obeyed. In verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And somebody says, well, this sounds like communism, right? This is not communism. This is actually generosity and love, because they're not being forced to do it. And it says, and day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Do you see what happened? They began to hear and they began to obey. They began to listen and they began to obey. So after Pentecost, the early church didn't just celebrate a miracle, they lived it out in a new way. They lived it out in a new life. And that's what we need. That's what we need in our homes. Not just individually. And you say, well, the Holy Spirit makes me better at work. That's right, but I hope the Holy Spirit is making you better at home. I hope the Holy Spirit's making you better in your marriage. I hope the Holy Spirit is making you a better parent. I hope the Holy Spirit is making you a better son or a daughter. I hope that's what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life. Because if not, I would say this, have you invited the Holy Spirit into your home to do that? Because that's what the Holy Spirit, that is what happens when the Holy Spirit gets in the middle of your home, gets in the middle of your marriage, that things change. The place is transformed. The atmosphere is transformed. And then there's miracles of speaking, and then there's miracles of hearing. We begin to say the things we need to say. We begin to hear the things that maybe we've had trouble hearing, because the Holy Spirit is doing a work in our homes. They shared meals together. They met together. They honored each other's stories and each other's differences. That's what happened in the early church. They were not all the same. They didn't all speak the same language, but in that one moment, in that one instant, right, God brought them all together. There was unity because the Holy Spirit was working. So in our families, the Spirit moves us from hearing to acting. That's what happens. The Holy Spirit moves us from just listening, I hear what you're saying, to say, I hear what you're saying, and what do I need to do about this? I need to step in and I need to respond, right? It may look like respecting, what your kids and just how they're different, right? Sometimes we try to take our kids and say, I want you to be this person, right? And we're not honoring who God has shaped them and who's God's making them to be. Because maybe they're our little mini-me, but maybe God doesn't intend for them to do exactly what we do, right? And sometimes we got to get that and understand, hey, just because God's made them different, we need to honor that. And the Holy Spirit helps us to honor that. So being able to respect how your kids are different, even if you don't understand it, right? Honoring your parents' stories, guys. If you're a student here, you say, I don't always understand why they're trying to tell me all this stuff about old people and old stories, and I don't understand, right? It's honoring those old stories, because actually that's your story. That's where you come from. This is part of your family. This is part of your legacy. This is part of your lineage, good or bad, right? This is where the stories that you got to connect. So honoring your parents' stories, even if they feel like a history lesson, and making room for the quiet voices and the big personalities. making room for the quiet voices and the big personalities in our homes, right? The Spirit's power isn't just in words. It's in the way that we live together. How many of you want to live together in a better way? Right? I'm glad two of us want to live together in a better way. I want you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to ask somebody to come play. See, some of us are nervous about charismatic expressions. I understand that. How many of you guys were raised, you know, with a charismatic or Pentecostal background? Raise your hand. Raise it high. You're Pentecostal. There we go. All right. Yeah, a few of us. Okay, good. All right. How many of you, that's just like not who you are? Raise your hand. It's like, that was not what I came from, right? You raise them up high. Don't be bashful. Yeah. Yeah. And this is the difference that we have. And as the pastor of this church, what I want more than anything is this. I'm not here to try to shove anything down anybody's throat. I'm not trying to shove my experience down your throat, right? I'm not here to say, hey, you got to look just like me and sound just like me. But what I am saying is this, is I believe the Holy Spirit is wanting to do a work in our church. He wants to do a work in our homes. And so even if we've been nervous about charismatic expressions and worried about, you know, people that might get emotional or that might get out of control, or maybe others of us, we say, they're not emotional enough, right? Some of us say, they need to get with it. They need to get louder, right? How can we come together and honor each other? That, I say, I think is the true sign of the Holy Spirit, is that when we can come together and honor each other's differences, when we can come together and live together in a way that says, hey, I hear what you're saying, right? How do I respond in love? Hey, maybe I don't come exactly from your background, but that's okay. I hear that and I want to honor that, right? I think this right here, this is what we see happening in the early church. That they came together in unity. They had differences, but they came together in unity. And they responded to God's call on their life. And they responded in such a way God used them.